Radio. I'm Dave.
Yes, it's 12:05 out there in the Northumberland area, and as always, Week in Review. And I'm Jim Glover, and my host, as always, my co-host, Mr. John Hill. John, how are you doing this afternoon?
Very well. Drying out after that rainstorm over those last couple of days.
Well, I'm going to tell you, we had problems here at the station.
We did. But it seems to be all cleared up now. I went out and had my flu shot today.
Do you get those, do you?
I do that, and I'm sort of urging all our listeners to go and do it, too.
Well, I sorry about that. Yeah, I'm not much on the flu shot myself.
Oh, well, a lot of people aren't, but in my opinion, I think it's a neighborly thing to do because there's what's called the herd effect, so that if most of the people get it, it protects the people that don't get it as well.
Well, I can say, knocking on wood, that every year I don't get it, and every year I don't get the flu. So
okay.
it's usually good for me. John, we got some great people in the studio with
us
today.
And it's all because I went to a council meeting on Monday night, and it was a rather unusual council meeting. It was more pomp and circumstance than actual substance. But there was one thing that came up, and that was a delegation that from the Quebec Taxpayers Association that was led by Paul Pagnuolo. And it was in response to a letter that had been written and sort of put off by the town, but written by Lydia Smith, actually written before she became president of the Quebec Taxpayers Association. So our guests today are Lydia Smith and Paul Pagnuolo. So I'm going to start off by asking Lydia, what was the nature of the letter that she originally sent out?
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having us on, Jim. Hi, John. Nice to see you again. So what I did was on September 1st, I wrote a letter to council, and what my intention was to have the letter read aloud because I wanted to create a discussion. There were a couple of issues. One of them was the actual amount of the town payroll. My understanding was that it had increased from 2010 to 2014, that the town payroll had increased by about 30%. And the other issue was that the staffing levels at the rec center had also increased. And what I wanted was to have a discussion and explanation in council, especially because I can't remember if they were doing it at that point or if it came to light later. No, it was at that point. They were looking at hiring a director of parks and recreation, another position over 100,000. And so I wanted to have a discussion in public.
Well, as I recall, Lydia, the letter appeared on the agenda, but it was not read in public. And indeed, the mayor at the time that this letter was presented said that he wanted to wait until Stephen Peacock, the chief administrative officer, had an opportunity to review it. And then he told Northumberland 89.7 that the statistics you were using in the letter were erroneous. Maybe you could follow up what happened after that.
Well, yes. Yeah, so what happened was I did get an email from the mayor. He declined my request to be able to speak in council because he said my letter was full of erroneous information. And he asked me to he offered me the opportunity to come in and meet with both Stephen Peacock and Ian Davey. I declined. And I think I'm being criticized for that because people seem to think I'm taking kind of a hard line. But that isn't really the point. My reason in writing the letter was to have a discussion in public. And by going in behind closed doors, I don't understand why they want to have that discussion behind closed doors. Why can't we have it in public? Isn't that the whole point?
Well, both the mayor and Stephen Peacock have come back, and Stephen Peacock at Monday night's council session heard the representations of Paul Pagnuolo. But before we get into that, perhaps, Paul, you can tell us what you said at the council meeting.
Well, the whole objective of my presentation was I went through Stephen Peacock's report. And quite frankly, it raised more questions than it provided answers. So I took the time, and there were a group of us that went through the report in detail. And we looked at a number of things. First of all, right off the top, Mr. Peacock did not address the issue of how much staffing cost increased, and that was one of your questions. And the mere fact that he didn't raise that question, one would have to assume that those numbers were correct. And when I say correct, we took them from the financial information return.
Okay, maybe I could just stop you there, Paul. What is this financial information report?
Okay, the financial information return, I think it's important that everybody really understand what this is. It's what the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing uses as its main collection tool to collect financial and statistical information on municipalities. It's comprised of a number of schedules and subschedules, but it gets very detailed. It's required to be submitted to the ministry by May the 31st of each year. I would note that in the case of the town of Coburg this year, it didn't get in until August the 12th, 2.5 months late.
Is there a penalty for that?
I contacted the ministry quite a while ago about that, and I didn't get a straight answer, believe it or not.
Okay, that seems kind of okay.
So, but what's important is that on page two, basically the first schedule, there's a requirement for the municipal treasurer to sign a declaration which says, and I'll quote, "For the purposes of the financial information return, the amounts disclosed on the attached schedules are in agreement with the books and records of the municipality and its consolidated entities."
So one would take it from that, that if it's in the financial information return, those are the figures that the town is using.
One would have to absolutely assume that.
And what was the case?
Well, now we're being told by Mr. Peacock in his report that the numbers used on that particular schedule in the financial information return weren't, I guess, the numbers that they use internally. So
those numbers were not an accurate account of what was submitted.
Well, that's what he's saying. So my question is, to the CAO, what were those numbers that you put on the financial information return and submitted? And there's no attempt to reconcile the numbers he used in his report with the numbers that they reported to the province.
Now, is there any indication as to whether or not those numbers were low or, like, lower than expected, or were they higher? I'm looking at the spending budget of the town. Did the town submit the fact that the total cost was lower than what was actually projected?
I would have to suspect that whether they have one view of what they mean by Parks and Rec for when they submit to the province and how they want to deal with it internally, that seems to be what Peacock is saying.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not aware that the ministry says when you're preparing this report, these are the departments you put in Parks and Rec.
Can I just add, I just wanted to read from the email that the mayor sent me, which says, "We suspect you have obtained the information, and that being the erroneous information, from the FIR. And the problem with this is the FIR does not contain the level of detail or categories that matches our own financial reporting system. And subsequently, some of our information is grouped in the wrong categories and painting a very different picture of reality." Well, when you have a town budget, would you not, isn't the whole purpose of a town budget to paint a picture of reality so that you can see where you are and have a roadmap of where you're going?
Well, that would indicate that you'd need some sort of guideline, some framework as to how much you're actually working with.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that the FIR, that would be the overall budget set. Those would be the places that we would send
those numbers to. That's where you find all the detail.
So why is it that they have the wrong information? And if, in fact, they don't have the wrong information, why is the mayor telling us that it's the wrong information?
Good question. And we didn't get that answer.
You got no answers at all.
No.
at council. The presentation was made, and then no questions asked. The basically the council went on with its other business. And I found that quite surprising, because I think some of the allegations that you raised were very significant. And that's why I went to Stephen Peacock after the council meeting and asked him what response he would have in terms of the presentation that you made. Here's what he told me.
I would note that at no time have we been at the town or any of his staff been approached by the group to explain any of the comments. So I really would invite them to come to the town hall, talk to staff, because my report has a lot of information in it, and I would like to give them the context of the report.
Lydia, what do you have to say about that?
I'm sure John's asking me that because everybody's looking at me as I'm sitting here with my mouth open with shock and disbelief. I mean, if you know, this has been all over the media. The letter was sent to the mayor and council on September 1st. They've been talking about it in council. There have been emails back and forth. I sent an email to Ian Davey because he was one of the people that the mayor had invited me to speak with. So I sent an email to Ian Davey saying, you know, thank you for the invitation. I will not be in to meet with you. I just want the reply to four questions. Can you please provide me with that? So if Stephen Peacock doesn't think that we're approaching them and asking questions, does that mean that Ian Davey and the mayor and Stephen Peacock don't talk to each other?
That would be an interesting thing to assume, but I can't see that being a reality.
But the real issue is, why did he issue the report? The report was to provide the clarification, and I have to assume to prove that Lydia's numbers were wrong. Well, if there was anything wrong, it's what they did in terms of when they submitted the report to the province. Do they have two sets of books, one they send to the province and one they keep for themselves?
Do we even know the numbers that were submitted?
Oh yeah, we know all the numbers that were submitted.
What's the overall total?
Well, if you look on total staff for the whole town, we went, and this includes full time, part time, seasonal. It went from 268 employees in the end of 2010 to 325. That was an increase of 57 people in 4 years. Mm-hmm. Now, we can argue about, you know, how much time a seasonal person works versus a part-time versus full-time. The easy way, if I want to get around that, which I haven't seen them do, is to express it in what, in business, we call full-time equivalent. So if you have somebody that works one quarter of a year, they're considered 0.25 full-time equivalent. So, you know, they're not counted as one, they're counted as a quarter of a person.
In Stephen Peacock's report, did he take the numbers that you have presented and spell out, Lydia, why he thought those were wrong?
No, I would say not. And as a matter of fact, yesterday in my mailbox, I did get a letter from the town, including Stephen Peacock's report. So what I can say is that of the four questions I asked, two of them were not answered at all. So that is the claim that we got from the FIR, that the employee costs for the town of Cobourg have gone from $15 million to almost $20 million, which is a 30% increase in 4 years. So my question of what is the town payroll for the end of 2010 and what is the town payroll for 2014, those two questions have not been answered at all. Everybody just seems to be focused on the whole thing about the CCC. It's almost like they've got blinders on. The town budget is, I think, around $22 million. And if you set aside police and fire, the staffing levels represent, I think, about 40%, Paul, or 50% of the remaining budget.
Close to 50% in total.
Of the remaining budget. And yet, you know, we can't even get that number.
So I can tell you what the number is, because where did I take it? I took it from the FIR. Employee costs, so this is salaries, wages, and employee benefits, at the end of 2014 was $19,916,685.
But the mayor says that that's a wrong number.
Well, the mayor didn't respond, and Ian Peacock didn't respond to that particular question. But where do we get the info? We got it from the FIR, which is the same place we got the Parks and Recreation staffing numbers from.
Now, did you guys come to the conclusion that everyone thought that number was high?
Can I? what I noticed from Stephen Peacock's report, just to keep it really simple for the listeners, because some of this can get quite convoluted.
Yeah.
In 2010, the Parks and Rec numbers that Stephen Peacock provided in his report match what is in the 2010 FIR. So those numbers match.
Full-time only.
Okay.
Yeah.
In 2014, the difference was something like the FIR, I think, reported 36 and Stephen Peacock reported 24.
Okay, so
it was quite a substantial difference.
That is a
yeah, it's not
difference.
Like a couple.
No.
No, and he excluded, you know, some incidental employees, you know, the ones who might be filling in for somebody. He didn't provide, and he didn't provide a breakdown between part-time and seasonal. He sort of seemed to lump everything into part-time.
And probably also never added up the overtime, if in fact anyone's granted.
Well, overtime would be in the cost, not in the numbers.
Okay.
Now, Paul, at the end of your presentation, you suggested that the mayor owed Lydia an apology.
Well,
why did you say that?
Because I felt the fact that he would accuse Lydia of providing and using erroneous information was disingenuous. The information she used came from the information that the town sent to the province, as simple as that. So if there was any error, and if he's saying the number that we sent to the province was wrong, don't blame Lydia for that. Blame yourself, because you're the people who sent the information in, and that's what we used. This is supposed to be accurate information that the province relies on.
Well, I asked Mayor Brockenier if he was willing to issue an apology to Lydia. Here's what he told me.
No, I'm not going to be issuing an apology. I mean, the situation is still, as I stated it a while ago, that, you know, the FIR does not line up with, you know, our reporting structure. And so, therefore, you can't rely on the FIR to give you the accurate information as to what really takes place within the town of Colbert. So if they really want to know what's going on, as I said before, we're open to having them come in and talk to us, and we can explain why the FIR is not a reliable source of information in terms of finding out the operating conditions in the town of Coburg and employees.
Well, Lydia, that's the first time you've heard this clip. What's your response to that?
Well, again, I'm speechless almost, except that's not really in my nature. I'm horrified, again, I guess, because in effect the mayor is saying publicly that a document that they are required to file with the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing does not match the town's own numbers.
And I guess the other thing that I took away from it is that the FIR is not a reliable source.
I suppose.
That's what I got.
But it is
that.
Supposed to be. And when I questioned Ian Davies this summer as to why they were late in getting the FIR into the province, he said, we have to wait until we have our audited financial statements, and then we complete it. So, I mean, it comes down to, if you can't believe a statutory report that's filed with the province, who and what can you believe?
Have we ever gotten any comment from the FIR, or have we even brought this up?
Well, I think it'd be an interesting thing that the ministry might want to find out or be aware of, is that the town is saying what they're reporting, or at least on one schedule, is not correct.
Will the CTA make any moves in that direction? Do you intend to go to the ministry?
Well, we're certainly going to contact the ministry and find out from them what their requirements are and whether this is acceptable.
I'm kind of wondering about that. It's not my intention to be antagonistic, if you will, with council, with the mayor. All I really want is to have a discussion in public. What really bothers me about all of this is the constant invitations to come in and meet behind closed doors. I think that's one of the things that's wrong, and I think that's one of the reasons we formed the Coburg Taxpayers Association. And, Paul, I wouldn't want to disagree with you, but I think before we went to the ministry, we would want to discuss it with our board and with our advisory committee.
Well, it's definitely information I think the town itself, the people in town really need to know.
Well, one of the things that happened on Monday night is that there was a lot of, as I said, pomp and circumstance, and one of those involved reading out the town's mission statement. And part of that mission statement was that the town should be open and accountable and transparent in all its dealings. I guess to some extent what you're telling me today is that the town's not living up to that mission statement. Anybody care to comment on that?
No, well, I mean, I will comment on it. As I say, in the media, people seem to keep focusing on the CCC. For me, the issue is not about the CCC. It's never been about the CCC. And in a way, it's not really about staffing levels either. What it's about is accountability and transparency. Why can a citizen not have a mechanism to ask questions in council? In Port Hope, they have a question and answer period for the public, for the media, for councillors. Why don't we have a question and answer period here? So the only mechanism I have is, I suppose, a delegation, and I didn't really want to be that formal. I just wanted a letter read out loud. And I would also like to say I feel very betrayed or let down by the councillors. My understanding is there wasn't a peep from one of them.
No.
These are our elected officials. Why are they not standing up for the citizens of Coburg?
The other thing I think that is important is that by coming out and saying that the CTA is giving us erroneous information, does that not impact on the ability of the CTA to speak on behalf of Coburg taxpayers? In other words, your credibility is being challenged. Do you see it that way?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why we're always extremely cautious whenever we use any numbers to do our homework, to do our research, and make sure that they're coming from reliable sources. The main source that we use for most of our data comes from the Financial Information Return. And we shouldn't be required to, if we're going to use that data, to have to run to the town and say, is this accurate? Is there something we should know about this data that maybe it's wrong? I mean, you have to rely on what you're given and what is supposed to be accurate.
I also would like to say that I feel personally, you know, embarrassed to be centered out this way in the media. I've been in the business world for years, more years than I'd like to mention. Integrity is one of my core values. I always check my facts. If I don't know, I say I don't know. And I'm not afraid to say that I don't know. I don't expect to be perfect. But to have someone question my integrity in this way in public, when I really, in a way, have no mechanism to fight back, is totally unfair. And I think may even violate the code of conduct that council and the mayor especially is required to follow.
So where do we go from here, Paul?
Well, it's out there. We've got Mr. Peacock's version. He's not answered the questions. He's not said where the numbers that he put in to the FIR came from, what they were based on, why they differ. I think this whole thing really puts a, and I mean, there's another thing too, and that was the numbers he used in his report regarding tax increases.
Now, if these numbers are supposedly wrong,
Yeah. Is
there a penalty that the FIR is going to impose on the town, or is there some sort of consequence because of that?
Honestly, Jim, I don't know.
Like, I'm just kind of wondering what kind of weight the FIR have. I mean, they're supposed to be representing the town. Well, they're not so much representing the town, but they're representing the province.
Well, the FIR is a statutory report, and it's filed with the Ministry of Municipal Affairs, mm-hmm. who oversees every municipality. So this is one of their main tools for knowing what's going on and measuring
performances.
Yeah.
Performance. I just want to say quickly, to answer John's question, I really, really would like to hear from the listeners what they think should be the next step, and have people go to our website, coburgtaxpayers.ca, and give us their opinion of what they think we should be doing next. They're part of this. All of you citizens out in Coburg are part of this.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
Well, I want to thank Paul and Lydia for coming in today. This is an issue, I think, that could get bogged down in a lot of complexity, but I think you've done a good job in explaining it for our listeners to appreciate, and maybe there will be some follow-up on this in future days.
Absolutely. Guys, thanks for joining us here on Weekend Review.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I always appreciate when we can get another point of view of what's going on out there, because I think it's very important, John. I want to say, make sure you set your clocks back an hour, John. Don't be late. In this case, don't be early. It is daylight saving. Stick around. Mr. Brian Coggins is up next here on Northumberland 89.7.
Hello, my name is Duncan McKinnon from Northumberland Fair Share Food Banks. Through the generosity of our sponsors, FairShare now has excellent refrigeration facilities, and we can accept fresh fruit and vegetables. Lettuce, cauliflower, broccoli, beans, we want it all. It's all welcome and very much appreciated by our FairShare families. To get in touch, go to fairshare.ca. Harvest time is a great